Sunday mornings, you'll say, well, we've been here before, and we have. This is a passage that we have been studying through together, and we've been studying it for a very specific purpose, because we're looking at some foundational truths. And in the foundational truths, we need to go back and really make sure that we understand from the very beginning what happened to man, what caused man's struggle, what brought him to the place where he really was having such difficulty. It started out so good in the Garden of Eden, and then it went downhill quickly when Adam and Eve messed up. When Adam chose to eat the fruit, became the father of sin, then the very next passage, the very next story for us is the story of Cain and Abel. And so here's the first family, and in the first family you have one son that kills the other. That's going downhill very fast when you go from perfection in the Garden of Eden to a place where one son murders the other son. And what a heartbreak that would be for Adam and Eve, who have known perfection but now see what is taking place in their own family. But it is that situation that is instructive for you and me when we're trying to figure out what's going on in my life. And as we study through these things, what we've come to is this, that you must acknowledge the destructive effects of this, of your sin nature on your decisions. You cannot, as a person, as a believer, have the mindset that I can trust my heart. I can just go with my gut. Now, understand, there are some things that you're going to do that with, but when it comes to decision making on spiritual matters, you've got to be very careful. Because our heart is not something that we can trust. And that destructive nature, that those destructive effects are seen in two very specific areas when you study through this passage. Number one, we saw that it is destructive on worship. We're going to read this in just a minute to refresh our memories. But when we looked at this idea, we came to a conclusion. And that conclusion is that people want to worship God in their own way and on their own terms. The more I study about Cain and Abel, the more I am convinced that it was something in the offering itself that was wrong when Cain brought his offering. And again, to visualize this for you, Cain and Abel both bring an offering. Abel brings his offering, and it's an offering from the flock. And so he offers a blood sacrifice of some kind. And the Bible says God had regard for his offering, or he accepted his offering. On the other hand, Cain came at the same time, and he brought his offering. And as he put his offering before God, it was his offering from the fruit of the ground. And God did not have regard for that. Or in other words, he did not accept that. And so in a sense, God was looking at Cain and saying, Cain, look, I can't accept your offering. That's not the offering I want. And immediately, when God told him, I get to control how I'm worshipped, Cain's anger rose up. And here's this sin nature that is born in man, or man is born with, and now rises, and it comes out. And all of a sudden, Cain has gone from a guy who's coming and he's worshiping and he's making his offering to where it says he's angry and his countenance falls. And as we've gone through that passage, there are a number of things that we've already looked at. We've come to these conclusions that when we look at worship, people want to worship God in their own way and on their own terms. And if you don't think that's true, you tell people today that you need to really consider how you're worshiping in your music and in the things that you're doing in your church. And oh, you'll get a vitriolic response from people. People do not like to be told that their worship may be wrong. And God sometimes is the one who comes down and says, that's not how I want to be worshipped. And you'll find people very angry when you try to instruct them about music and worship or studying scripture and worship, how to worship. You find that that's still a very sensitive topic. But not only on worship, but here is on our response to conviction. And so we have to learn that we can't really trust ourselves when it comes to response to conviction. Same passage, the Lord himself comes and he talks to Cain. And as you come to this passage, we looked at this particular aspect of it last week. In verse 5, we're going to see it says, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And conviction is when God brings you to the place where he is trying to deal with certain things. For example, it says that Cain was angry. And I've defined anger this way. Anger is my response when I don't get my way. All anger can be defined that way. Now, sometimes anger is right, because there are times when you should get your way. And so it could be an anger that's okay. But most of the time, our anger is my response when I don't get my way, and it's a really negative response. And in this case, it was. God comes and says, Cain, look, I can't take that offering. I get to decide how I'm worshipped, and Cain, I have no regard for that offering. So I'm not going to accept your offering. Cain didn't get his way. And so his anger is his response to not getting his way. Well, I brought my offering and I want to decide how to worship God. And in his anger, his countenance fell. You could see it on his face that he was angry, and it was obvious that he was angry and he did not like what he was feeling. And as you come to this place of conviction, in our terms, in our day, it would be the Spirit's effort to make me Christ-like. It is God in his kindness and in his mercy allowing his Holy Spirit to actually speak to you and say, I want to make you Christ-like. And so there's some things that we need to deal with. And it might be areas of your life where you need to step up and address, whether it's your relationship with media or whether it's a relationship in your family, whatever it might be. God is dealing with you, and he'll deal with each person differently and say, hey, I want to work on this so that you become more Christ-like. And there may be an area that God is working on you where there's conviction. And, oh, here's God in his kindness convicting Cain. Cain, I want to know what's going on here. And as he talks to him, we find out that his actions are unacceptable and his attitude is unacceptable. He has brought the wrong offering, and now his attitude stinks, and God says, this is not right. I cannot accept this. This is not something that I can put up with. And so the fact is, or what we come to, here's a second big statement. We learned about worship, that people want to worship their own way and on their own terms. But here's a second big statement. People want God to agree with them. So here comes Cain, and he says, I want to worship God in my own way and on my own terms. And when God rejects it, I'm mad at him. Well, now I want God to agree with me. I want God to capitulate to my ideas. I want him to do what I want to do. And if you do that, then you've just dethroned God, because you've now become God and God has to agree with you. And that's where Cain finds himself. He finds himself in a position where he said, God, you must agree with me. And God said, I'm not going to do that. That's not the way it works. Well, that happened thousands of years ago. It's the same thing that we're still dealing with today. In our service today, I knew that we wouldn't have a lot of time, and so I've deliberately made this about 15 minutes long. But I want you to take the next step, and I want you to see something that's important. Now, we'll come back and finish this next week. So I'm gonna give you this, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna look at this a little bit more next week. But I feel like this is one of the most important lessons that I've ever learned when I counsel people. Because everybody comes to a place where they need counsel. I call people once in a while when I need counsel. What do you think I should do here? Other people will call me and ask, you know, what do you think I should do in this situation? I sit down and talk to people. You get the opportunity to sit down and talk to people. Finding somebody who can give you good, godly, practical advice and counsel is a blessing in your life when you have people like that. But in this case, do you know who Cain's counselor was? God himself. Here is God saying, Cain, what's the matter? I'd like to know, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? And when God counsels him, he gives him some advice that is critical advice if you want to figure out how to get back to a right relationship with God. And I want you to see that this morning before we're finished. Now, let's go back to the passage and let's read it so that we refresh in our minds exactly what was taking place. So Genesis chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. And Adam knew, or he had relations with Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she again bare or gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect, or that is the idea of regard, unto Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering he had not regard or respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why art thou angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That's the idea. It's crouching at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Now let's come back to specifically this section of that story. Here's God counseling a man. In our day, it would be the Holy Spirit, who is God, counseling a man. And so, while this is an individualized thing where Cain has done something, God is talking to him, in our day, every person who is a believer and has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, the Spirit is going to counsel you exactly the same way. He's going to use God's Word in order to counsel you. And so as we look at this, let's break it down again, a block outline. It says, Then the Lord said unto Cain, and he said, I'm going to ask you two questions. Or actually, I'm going to ask you three questions here. Number one, why are you angry? If we go back and look at the definition, what is it you didn't get your way in? Why are you angry? What is it that you wanted your way in that you didn't get? You can always ask that with your anger. Number two, why is your countenance fallen? Your countenance is displaying your feelings. Your countenance is displaying what's going on inside. And most people will display their feelings to a certain extent. Now, we learn how to mask our feelings. I think that's an interesting study. I was sharing with some people. I read a book called Now I can't remember the title of the book. It's something about body. And I first saw the title and thought, I better find out what this is. But it was, it'll come to me tonight and I'll shout it out. So, but it is an FBI profiler, and he's talking about reading people. And he said, one of the things that we learned when we read people is that, you cannot necessarily go by the face, because he said, we tell our kids from the very beginning, put a smile on that face. You know, we do it with put a smile on that face. And our kids will go, you know, they're masking the true feelings. But most of the time, when we're not consciously trying to change it, we have this ability to display our feelings or our emotions through our countenance. You can tell by the lightness of someone's step, their spirit, their attitude. I walk into the bank singing, and they always look at me and say, oh, you must be happy today. I say, no, I just like songs. Not that I'm not happy, I just sing all the time. So he says, well, Cain, I can see that your feelings are kind of hurt. Your feelings are not right. Your emotions are not what they should be. Now, here's the next statement, and this is what I want you to get today. The Lord looked at him and said, if you do well. Now get that. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Now, there are two things there. One is doing, the other is feeling. Won't you feel better if you do the right thing? Here's the Lord counseling this person. You know, we have this struggle in our culture, in our society, with feelings. People want to feel better. People go to psychiatrists because they don't feel good. They're depressed. They have these feelings. And so a lot of times a psychiatrist or some kind of doctor will give people drugs to make them feel better. Now, that's a whole different story, because sometimes medication can be needed for certain things. So that's it's a whole different subject that we would have to take some time to look at. But the fact is that when the Lord was talking to Cain, and here's a man who's angry and whose feelings are displayed in his countenance, in his face. And he said, Cain, you know what I'm counseling you what I'm counseling you? Go do the right thing. If you go and do the right thing, won't your countenance be lifted up? And then in the very next verse, he looks at him and says, if you do not do well, And I'll put the rest of that one up there later. But he said, I'm telling you, Cain, right now, that your feelings will be determined by whether you do the right thing or whether you don't do the right thing. This is where God, the counselor, took him. There are actually some counselors that would not go here. And I'm going to say, I'm going to err on the side of God because I feel like he'd be a better counselor. And God said, you have to do the right thing in order to get your feelings where they ought to be. Now, here's where I want you to go with me today. That is that here's a third major lesson that we get out of this passage. And that is that people want to feel better without doing right. This is another one of those statements where I've wrestled with it all week trying to figure out how do you word this exactly right, but I can't really come up with a much better way to do this. It seems flawed. But people want to feel better without doing right. A lot of people want to feel better. They want to be happier. They want to be more content. They want to have this feeling or that feeling removed or replaced or changed, but they don't want to do the right thing. I want to show you something that I learned a long time ago, and it works in my own life, and it'll work in your life as well. I want to put up here a triangle, all right? Nice triangle, has a nice shaded interior. And I'm going to put three words on this triangle. Here's number one, thinking or your thoughts. Everybody has thoughts. Does everybody have a thought today? All right, how many of you are thinking? You doing okay on that? All right. A couple sleeping, but you know, otherwise most of you are thinking, okay? So we have thoughts. And thoughts are integral to everything that we do. Let me put a second word up, and that is feelings. Anybody have feelings today? Anybody sad? Oh, come on, somebody's got to be sad. Can I get somebody? All right, got two. All right, back there in the back. All right, got two sad. Anybody happy? Okay? Anybody anxious? Like you're worried about something? Okay, all right, God, I could come up with all kinds, there are all kinds of feelings. You know, and feelings, you can be depressed, you can be, you know, way on the other end of depression, whatever that is. You can be, you know, anxious, just all these feelings that we deal with. And Cain was angry. He was feeling angry. All right, let's put a third word up there. And the third word is doing. That is, I'm going to do something. Now, we all do something. You say, well, what if we're doing nothing? Well, you're doing nothing. And that is doing something. So this gets a little confusing, but you're doing nothing, but you are doing it well. Okay? So you're always going to do something. All right? So get those three things. Everybody is going to think, feel, and do. So you have thoughts, you have feelings, and you have actions. Now, here's what happens. I'm going to put an arrow up here, and notice that it has points on both ends. Let's talk about thinking and doing. Do you know that you cannot do something without thinking about it first? Now, I understand that there's a little bit of a gray area here because you have some things that are natural or intuitive, or they're just natural responses. Like if somebody goes to swing at you, you probably will go like that. So there are some things that would not fit in this, but basically you're not going to do anything without thinking about it. So your thoughts are going to affect what you do. So if we just stop there, that means it's very important what I think about. If I'm going to do the right thing, I'm going to have to think right in order to do the right thing. And so if I'm deciding whether I'm going to get up and come to church on Sunday morning, I have to be thinking, you know, I am going to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. If I think, well, you know, I'll see how I feel. Or if I think, I'll not set the alarm and let the Lord wake me up. That one's so convenient. It's the Lord's fault. He didn't wake me up. So here's this thinking. And if I think right, then it's going to affect what I do. Now, here's something else. If you turn that around, it also works. Do you know that if I do the right thing, it impacts the way I think? If I do the right thing, it affects my thinking. Most people take this idea of doing and kind of put it over here and think, you know, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I'm thinking right, I'll do it. But actually, if I do the right thing, a lot of times I think better. Let's take exercise. You know, we know that exercise, whether it's, you know, something that's aerobic or just walking or whatever it is, it's beneficial in a number of ways. Not just physically, but it's mentally good for you. People know that. If I go out and do the right thing, it helps me in my thinking. And so I may be sitting in my lounge chair at home thinking, I don't want to exercise. But if I go do the right thing, I come back and my thoughts are a lot better. I do the right thing. And when you do right, you will find that it affects the way you think. Now, let's put another arrow on here. Let's put this arrow over on the other side. We have our thoughts and we have our feelings. There is no doubt that the way you are feeling affects the way that you're going to think. Let's take Cain. Cain is feeling what? Anger. Oh, he's angry. He's mad. God didn't take my offering. God wants me to bring a different offering. And he's angry. And his thoughts are going right with his anger. I mean, they mirror it perfectly. You know, if he could change his thoughts, he would change his feelings. If he would actually stop and think to himself, I'm arguing with God. He's the creator, and I'm arguing with him. And God has said to me, if I do the right thing, then my countenance will be lifted up. If I can get to thinking right, then my feelings are going to change. If I start thinking, you know, God had a right to, when I brought the offering that he didn't want, instead of saying to me, why don't you bring me the right offering, God could have just as easily said, boom, you're out of existence. Wow. God gives me an opportunity to change, an opportunity to repent. If you start thinking differently, it'll change your feelings. And if you start feeling different, it'll start change the way you think. Now, we have to put one more arrow up here because at the bottom we have this as well. Do you know that these both affect each other? Your feelings affect what you'll do. I've mentioned this already. You have to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. It's the only day I have off and I want to sleep in. And so you wake up, I don't feel like getting up this morning. And so I just am going to lay here in bed. And about 10:15, you're awake and you're laying there and you think, man, I don't feel like doing anything, and you just lay around. But let's change that a little bit. Let's say that you wake up and about 7 o'clock, or, you know, if you live in the parsonage, 7:55, you know, or 8:55, you got to be here at 9. You wake up and you say, man, I don't feel like going to church, but I'm thinking right, so I'm going to get up and take a 30-second shower and get over here. And so you do it. And you come to church and you sit through Sunday school, and then you sit through church, and after church, you know what? You're feeling a whole lot better. Why? Because I did the right thing. My feelings didn't dictate what I do. My doing and my thinking affected what dictated what I'm doing. And as a result, my feelings are a whole lot better. I came and spent some time with Carol Pollard. I came and hung out with Theo and Sarah. I got really encouraged by just seeing some people and spending time with them. And hey, I'm feeling better because of all this. You know, at some point when you're thinking in your mind, how am I going to get out of this? You really have to remember this. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. These are the things that you're going to have to evaluate in your life to determine, how am I going to get myself back on the right course? Now, I want you to go back to this, because of the three, what did God tell Cain to do? Do right. He said, Cain, I'm going to simplify this for you. We don't need a 6-week counseling session. We don't need drugs. We don't need this convoluted therapy to go on for months and years. Cain, do the right thing. Go get the right offering and bring it to me. And if you'll do that, then your countenance will be lifted up. Now, there's another rabbit trail on this, because there are people who can do right and still not be right. But in this case, Cain needed to go do the right thing. He had done wrong. And it came to the place where God said, I'm going to give you some very simple instructions. And that is, I want you to come to the place where you do the right thing. And remember that next verse where he said, if you don't do it, there's going to be a consequence. And that's what we're going to look at next week. I'm going to skip this because I want to get back to this slide again. And that is, people who want to feel better, or people want to feel better without doing right. This is what happens many times, is people say, I don't feel right. I'm depressed, or I'm having problems, or I'm struggling. And if you start going down through and asking them, well, let me ask you about some of the things that you're doing or not doing. Your devotions. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying? Are you witnessing to anybody? Are you faithful to church? Are you having a good spirit in your home? Are you encouraging others? Are you speaking kindly? No. You know what? I can nail down why you're feeling bad. You're not doing right. And the only solution is that you have to listen to what God said. And he looked at Cain and said, your counseling session is really short. Do the right thing. That's it. Session over. But now the session is not over, because Cain has been confronted with truth and he has to decide what he's going to do. That's what we'll get to next week, is what happens when he does that. But you're at this point today. Maybe you sit here and say, you know, just sometimes I don't feel right, and I don't know if I like church, and I don't know if I like being a Christian, I don't know if I like this. And if I were to start going down through and saying, are you doing the things that God asks you to do? Your answer would be, no. Well, then, my friend, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to feel right. You will not feel right if you're not doing right. And there's no way around that. And in this particular section of this passage, the only solution that we can come to is that if I want to have the right feelings, then I've got to have the right actions. Doing the right thing will lift your countenance. Doing the right thing will cause you to feel better. But you have to be the one to decide to do that. Cain was now at the place where he had to decide, listen to God or let my anger control. Listen to God or let my anger control. Cain, if you do well, won't your countenance be lifted up? It's the same question that I would ask you. If you would do well, wouldn't you feel better? And the answer is yes. You may not feel better in the process, but you will feel better when it's all over. This is the thing that I want you to leave with today. That if you struggle with your feelings, the Lord's counsel is, hey, do the right thing. First and foremost, do what you ought to do. In just a moment, we're going to finish and we're going to play through a stanza of the song, Walk Worthy of the Lord. And as we do that, we're going to close the same way we do every week. I'm going to ask you to talk to the Lord. And maybe you need to say, Lord, you've taught me today this specific thing. And you talk to him about that. Maybe this morning you're not a believer and you need to sit down and just talk with somebody, or you have some questions. Todd and Sherry will be in the back of the auditorium. And if you need to talk with somebody, we'd love to help you in any way that we can. Our goal is to change because we apply truth. And here's the truth that you have the opportunity to apply today. Doing the right thing will lift your countenance. Let's stand together, please. Now, Father, as we're standing before you this morning, we recognize that you have given counsel to a man in order to help him. And Lord, that same counsel would be true today, that if we would come to the place where we'll determine to do what's right, it will affect the way we feel. And so, Lord, I pray today that you'll help us to put this to use in ways that are practical and in ways that accomplish what you want to accomplish. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts today. Now, with our heads bowed, as we play through the song, will you talk to the Lord and say, here's what you've taught me today, then here's how I'm going to respond. If you need to talk to somebody, make your way to the back of the auditorium. We'd be glad to do that.